And I want to turn your attention just to one verse in particular in Matthew 12, although we'll just read a few verses leading up to it. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38. And we're reading of an incident here during the public ministry of the Lord Jesus, when the Lord Jesus referred to one of the Old Testament prophets, to the prophet Jonah. And we read in Matthew 12 and verse 38, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." And we know God will bless even the reading of his word to our hearts. There the Lord Jesus said at the end of verse 32 concerning himself, "Behold, a greater than Jonas is here." Where we began our reading there in verse 38, some of the scribes and the Pharisees had came with this request to the Lord Jesus, "Master, we would see a sign from thee." They were asking the Lord Jesus for a sign or a miracle to prove that he was who he said he was, the Messiah, the Christ, the promised Savior. Now, of course, the Lord Jesus had already done many sign miracles which proved that he was the one that he claimed to be. These Pharisees and scribes, of course, did not want to believe that Jesus Christ was the promised Savior. They did not want to believe his sign miracles, and yet they're coming, and they're asking for a sign. They're asking for a miracle. You will find earlier in this chapter that the Lord Jesus had performed one of those sign miracles when there was a man who was dumb and he was blind and he was under the power of an evil spirit. And yet the Lord Jesus cast out the devil, and the Lord Jesus caused that blind man to see. He caused that man who was not able to speak to be able to speak. That in itself was a sign miracle that proved that the Lord Jesus was the promised Savior. And yet when the people were amazed at that miracle, the scribes and the Pharisees, because of their jealousy, well, they, instead of being amazed at what the Lord Jesus had done, they falsely accused the Lord Jesus of casting out devils by the power of the devil himself. The Lord Jesus went on to state that he had cast out the devils by the power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore what those scribes and Pharisees were saying was blasphemy. Blasphemy against the Spirit of God. And yet here come these same individuals who had sought to discredit the Lord Jesus. And they're asking again, "Master, we would see a sign from thee." The answer of the Lord Jesus was that an evil and adulterous generation were seeking after a sign. These men were among those people who were evil and adulterous. And yet the Lord Jesus said no sign would be given to them except the sign of the prophet Jonas. And of course he made reference to Jonah being 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly. And how in a parallel way the Lord Jesus, he was going to be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. In other words, the Lord Jesus was speaking of the fact that he was going to die as the great sacrifice for sin. He was going to be buried in the tomb. But the greatest sign miracle of all concerning who he was would take place when on the 3rd day he would arise again from the dead. That would prove beyond doubt that he was the promised Messiah, the promised Savior. The Lord Jesus went on to say that on the judgment day, the men of Nineveh, they would rise up to condemn that generation that were upon earth when the Lord Jesus ministered. Because while the men of Nineveh had repented of their sin under the ministry of Jonah, the Lord Jesus could say to those who would not repent, hearing his preaching and seeing his great miracles, behold, a greater than Jonah's is here. And I want you to think just for a moment or two about some of the ways in which the Lord Jesus was and still is greater than Jonah. First of all, he was greater than Jonah in his obedience to God. You read the book of Jonah and you discover that Jonah was one of God's prophets. He was one who God commissioned to go and preach his word. And yet sadly, Jonah was not always obedient to God. In that book that is named after him, in the Old Testament, we discover that God commissioned Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh to preach against the sin of the people, to proclaim God's judgment that would come upon that people because of their sin. And yet instead of Jonah obediently obeying that commission from God, he was disobedient and he went in a different direction. He got on that ship that was not going to Nineveh, for he was in disobedience. He was going to go in a different direction. And of course, the chastening hand of God had to come upon him to bring him to a point where he was obedient and where he eventually did go in obedience to Nineveh to proclaim the message of God. The Lord Jesus could well say that he was greater than Jonah when we think of his obedience to God. Because while Jonah was disobedient at times, the Lord Jesus was perfectly obedient to his heavenly Father. When he came into this world as the God-man, when he came into this world as the promised Savior, he could say that he did always those things that pleased his heavenly Father. And if he had not lived a life of perfect obedience to his heavenly Father, there would be no salvation for us as sinners. But thank God, Jesus Christ, in his life, he lived a life of perfect obedience to the law of God. The law that we have broken. The law that we disobey. The Lord Jesus kept that law perfectly to provide a perfect righteousness for his people. To provide a perfect righteousness for every sinner who turns from sin and trusts in him for salvation. We read in the Bible that the Lord Jesus was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And there on that cross at Calvary, he was obediently offering up himself as the great sacrifice for them for sin. There he took our punishment that we might go free. And of course, when we think of the obedience of the Lord Jesus, what a contrast when we think of our disobedience. We are sinners. We disobey God's law in thought, in word, and in deed. And God demands perfect obedience if we are to be right with him. Therefore, because of our disobedience, we are condemned. And yet if we will turn from our sin and put our trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, we can be declared perfectly righteous before a holy God. Paul reminds us in the letter to the Romans that as by one man's disobedience, that is Adam's disobedience, many were made sinners. Yet by the obedience of one, the Lord Jesus, many are made righteous. Are you trusting in Jesus Christ for your salvation? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ that you might have a perfect standing before God? Or does today find you still walking in disobedience? But you know, there was another way in which the Lord Jesus was greater than Jonah, not only in his obedience to God, but in his suffering for sin. We think of Jonah. He suffered greatly even as a prophet because of his own sin, because of his own disobedience. How much easier Jonah's life would have been if he had obeyed that commission from God at first to go to Nineveh and declare the word of God. And yet because of his disobedience, he brought great suffering upon himself. He went in that ship and that boat in a different direction. And God had to send out a great tempest, a great storm to chasten Jonah. Others on that same sailing vessel suffered for a time because of the sin of Jonah. Jonah eventually had to own up to his sin and his disobedience. And he had to tell those other sailors that they would have to cast him overboard if there was going to be a calm. And that's what happened. And of course God had prepared the great fish to swallow up Jonah. For 3 days and three nights he was in the belly of that fish. We cannot begin to comprehend what sort of experience that must have been for him. But you read the book of Jonah, and he speaks of God's billows going over him. He felt he was cast out of God's sight. He was suffering because of his sin. But you know, the Lord Jesus was greater in his suffering for sin. He had no sin of his own for which to suffer. And yet he came as a sin bearer. He went to the cross at Calvary as the great sin bearer, the great substitute for sinners, the great sacrifice for sin. And there he suffered as the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He not only suffered that cruel death of crucifixion as far as what he suffered in his body, but in his very soul he suffered the wrath of God for all of the sins of all of his people. He knew what it was to be forsaken for a time by his Father. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He suffered hell on that cross. He suffered torment on that cross. As I've said, not for any sins that he had committed, for he had no sin. But he suffered as the great sacrifice for sin, the great sin bearer. And he suffered for those who by nature were his enemies. You know, Jonah suffered because he didn't want to go and preach God's word to those who were the enemies of his nation. Jesus Christ suffered for the sins of those who were his enemies by nature, for that's what we all are by nature. And yet when we think of his suffering for sin, we're reminded that we deserve to suffer for our sins. And unless you turn from your sin and trust in Christ for salvation, you will suffer for all eternity. For your sins. You will suffer the wrath of God that you deserve. You will suffer in that place of torment. You will suffer in that place where the fire will never be quenched. Either Jesus Christ suffered for your sins and you turn from your sin and trust Him as Savior, or else you must suffer forever for your sins. Oh, the Lord Jesus was greater than Jonah in his obedience to God, in his suffering for sin, but he was greater than Jonah in his resurrection from the dead. That was the great message the Lord Jesus was proclaiming here in Matthew chapter 12. He could speak of the fact that just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so he as the Son of Man would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He would die. He would suffer unto death. He would be buried. But praise God, he would rise again from the dead. You know, Jonah's experience when that great fish vomited him out onto dry land, it was something of a resurrection experience for Jonah because of what he had suffered for those 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale and how he had felt cast out of God's sight. But you know, it was but a foreshadowing or a picture of the fact that the Lord Jesus, though his body would lie in the grave and the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, he, even before that experience of death, he had said that he would lay down his life, but he would take it up again. And that's exactly what happened. He arose victorious over death and the grave. The Bible says he was delivered for our offences, but he was raised again for our justification. Only a risen Saviour can save. And thank God the Lord Jesus is no longer in the tomb. He's a living Saviour. He was dead, but he is alive. And he is alive forevermore. You know, spiritually we are dead in trespasses and in sins. We need a spiritual resurrection. And that's what happens when God by His grace works upon our hearts and brings us to call on Him for salvation, to turn from our sin. It's a spiritual resurrection. We're no longer spiritually dead. We're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. But someday we shall all die. And yet when the Lord Jesus returns, there's going to be a resurrection. The Lord Jesus said, for some it will be a resurrection unto life. For others it will be the resurrection unto damnation. What will it be for you? If you were to die physically today, are you already spiritually alive? Or would you end up experience what the Bible refers to as the second death? The Lord Jesus truly then could say, behold, a greater than Jonah is here. And as we finish this afternoon, you know, there's one other way, just as we conclude, we can say the Lord Jesus was greater than Jonah in the message He preached. You think of the message Jonah had to proclaim. Oh yes, it was a message from God. It was a message that said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. There didn't seem like much hope in that message. And yet, the people of Nineveh, well, the king led them and said, who can tell if God will repent and turn from this judgment, if we will turn from our sin? And that's exactly what happened. And God showed His mercy. But think of the message which the Lord Jesus proclaimed when He came upon earth. Yes, He spoke about judgment for sin. He said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. But there was a message of hope. If you repent, you won't perish. The Lord Jesus made it clear. There is a way of forgiveness. There is a way of salvation, a way to escape the judgment of God. Have you taken that way today? Will you take that way today? Will you turn from your sin and trust in Christ for salvation? And then you will truly realize that the Lord Jesus is not only greater than Jonah, He's greater than every individual that ever walked upon this scene of time, because He is the one that can save you from your sin. May you come and trust Him even today for His name's sake. Amen.